Well, I don't know how many of you saw Tidings, our e-newsletter this week, but every week in Advent, we are trying to send out a different spiritual practice to help us just slow down in a typically busy season and just wait on God and wait for God and listen patiently. And this week, I sent out a question with the first reading that Luke did a moment ago. And the question is, Isaiah paints God's redemption as an inhospitable and dangerous desert made lush and safe. And I wondered if any of you had images of what God's redemption might be like that you would be willing to share this morning. Any brave souls out there this snowy day? Any other images? No wrong answers at all this morning. Anybody? Yeah, Judy. Thank you. Seeing the crocuses come up in that beautiful yellow color. There's nothing better. In the time when we wear t-shirts, even if it's 50 degrees, because it feels warm again. Yes, you feel that newness of life, renewal. Anybody else? Ooh. A nice hot bath. You can. Thank you. That feels so apt today. Thank you. Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you. And lots of images of feasting throughout the scriptures. Yeah, thank you. Abby, did you? Thank you for that. Yes, skiing on a beautiful starry night, maybe with the moon out. Well, thank you. Thank you for that, for your bravery. I like those images. I want to get back to the image of the desert in our first reading from Isaiah. It feels kind of funny to talk about deserts today, but in some ways I love the snow, but I'm also longing for the desert. And some of you know that I grew up in a desert, San Diego. It is a desert made over cosmetically to look like a tropical paradise, but now with this ongoing drought, it is starting to look more and more like a desert. Everyone is thankfully waking up, pulling out their lawns, or almost everyone. My dad took out all the plants and put in cacti everywhere. But growing up, I remember just days so hot, my lips cracked and my feet were burned by the pavement, because as a kid, I just was always running around barefoot. I remember school being canceled when the temperature went to 105 degrees. I remember going to 7-Eleven for Slurpees a lot, drank a lot of Coke Slurpees over the summer. And I remember we have these dry winds called Santa Ana winds that sweep through and sometimes start fires in their wake. I remember how important water was and still is, and every time my family or Dwight's family, they're in Northern California, come to visit, one of the first things they say is, you have so much water here. You have so much water here in Minnesota. I also remember a trip to a place called Borrego Springs, not far from San Diego, when I was a child. It is a place that receives 1 inch of rain per year. There we visited a garden in which desert plants, mostly cacti, were in bloom. This was December or January. The blossoms were gorgeous. They were chartreuse and red and yellow and orange. And their brilliant colors made the barren landscape seem hopeful. In today's gospel from Matthew, John the Baptist is in prison. And he sends his disciples to Jesus with the question, are you the one who is to come? Or are we to wait for another? Early in Matthew's gospel, Jesus traveled from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. And John at first protested, saying he needed to be baptized by Jesus. But Jesus says, no, I want to be baptized by you. And when Jesus was baptized, surely John heard that voice from heaven saying, this is my son, the beloved, with whom I am well pleased. Or at the very least, he knew something very special and extraordinary was taking place. Yet here in chapter 11 of Matthew's gospel, John is desiring clarity about Jesus' ultimate identity. What's going on? Now, scholars offer many different explanations, including a power struggle between John's disciples and Jesus' disciples. Another plausible explanation is as follows. Even though John initially had a sense that Jesus was sent from God, he wasn't sure if Jesus was the Messiah, the anointed one. He wasn't sure if Jesus was a prophet or the one Israel had been waiting for all those years. And if John initially thought that Jesus might be the Messiah, Jesus's words and actions differed from John's expectations. As John made clear in Matthew chapter 3, his images of the one to come were violent and apocalyptic. He thought the Messiah would not only separate the wheat from the chaff, but burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. My intuition is that John was not only living in a physical desert, he was also living in a spiritual desert. I think it's easy for us to put John on a pedestal, making him a larger-than-life prophet, immune from human emotions and doubts, or to write him off as crazy as dirt. It's as if his camel hair clothing and strange diet make him supra or subhuman. And yet I wonder if the long days of proclaiming God's judgment and repentance until he was hoarse, the isolation and his imprisonment, let alone his diet, finally began to catch up with him. I wonder if he sent his disciples to Jesus, hoping and praying that Jesus was the one who would quench his thirst. Was Jesus the one that he had waited for and hoped for all these years? The one who would make his desert blossom. Now, many of us associate the desert with Lent, but I think it can also be an Advent, let alone a Christmas metaphor. For despite the festivities and merriment going on all around us, people are lonely, mourning, depressed, despairing, hungry, and without shelter. In America, immigrants are fearful, as are Muslims, Latinos, African Americans, and Jews. Festive store windows and images of families by Christmas trees dwarfed by packages can provoke feelings of helplessness and hopelessness among those without food, shelter, or money to buy their children presents. In 1943, during Advent, Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote to his parents from Tegel Prison in Berlin. He was a Lutheran pastor imprisoned by the Nazis for his opposition to Hitler. Bonhoeffer wrote, "From the Christian point of view, spending Christmas in a prison doesn't pose any special problem. Most likely, a more meaningful and authentic Christmas is celebrated here by many people than in places where only the name of the feast remains. Misery, pain, poverty, loneliness, helplessness, and guilt have an altogether different meaning in God's eyes than in the judgment of men. God turns toward the very places from which humans turn away. Christ was born in a stable because there was no room for him in the inn." A prisoner can understand this better than other people. It's truly good news for him. In believing it, he knows he has been made part of the Christian community that breaks down all spatial and temporal frontiers, and the walls of prison lose their meaning. Today's gorgeous passage from the 35th chapter of Isaiah arose from a desert period in the life of Israel. It's another version of Isaiah's depiction of the peaceable kingdom, which we heard Don Samuels talk about last week. But this time, it's focused on God's transformation of creation. The Israelites had been conquered for a second time, and many of their spiritual and cultural leaders, their brothers and sisters, were exiled to a foreign land. It was depressing and humiliating to be conquered by people who didn't follow Israel's God. And the Hebrew people found themselves in a period of anxiety, uncertainty, and soul-searching. Where was God? Why did God let bad things happen to God's people? After their exile, the Israelites longed to get home, but their home was now different. Like Lebanon, Aleppo, Baghdad, and Kabul, their home had been overtaken And what they once knew and treasured was gone. Home was now a desert. So imagine hearing the words you heard Luke read today from the prophet and poet Isaiah. The desert will rejoice and blossom. Those maimed by war will be healed. Streams will break forth in the desert. God has not given up on God's people and on God's original purpose for creation. God will remake and redeem the world and prepare the way, a highway called the Holy Way, for God's people to get back home. Into this desert arose a sense of hope and promise. God hadn't abandoned the Israelites, but was with them, even in the most arid, depressing, and lonely times. Today, we face the same question as John the Baptist and his disciples. Who is this man called Jesus? Is he the one we've been waiting for? Wherever and however we find ourselves this Advent, this morning, we must each ask and seek an answer to this question. And if our answer is the Messiah, the Christ, the one sent by God to bring transformation, reconciliation, hope, and healing, perhaps we too can feel a sense of excitement and anticipation about the coming birth of the Christ child. The same sort of excitement and wonder one feels when discovering blossoms in the desert. May God bless and comfort all who suffer, struggle, mourn, fear, and still hope, and bring them good news. Amen.